birthday, and then he moved to Bergela, where he's first also. He's worked on a variety of fairly universal topics, particularly based on biogenesis, but also he's worked on other fairly universal topics, like the COVID effects. And he's here to tell us about later model building on the microbiome.
Thank you.
So today I'm going to talk about the CMV and the inflation model building from the viewpoint of the particle phenomenon. So first I'm going to do a brief review of CMV, and then I'm going to tell how CMV can tell about inflation models. And then I'm going to discuss inflation model building through a concrete example. First example, actually the only example I'm going to talk about this so-called modular cosmology, where the modular fields plays a crucial role in their universe. I was trying to talk about the more phenomenology model where right-handed scale are neutrino in this inflation, but I couldn't submit a paper before today, so I think I had a bit of a And then I'm going to talk about more astronomy aspects of the inflation model building, or more concretely, the how we can parameterize the power spectrum to compare with the data. Okay, so let me start with a brief review of CMV. So, among the CMV, like possibly talk about today, I'm going to talk about cosmic microwave background, which is a dominant component of the radiation energy of the universe. So, if we look up the stars, right, those photons seem to be coming from stars and galaxies, but those luminous objects are very localized objects, while CMV comes from everywhere. So around 60% of the current radiation energy comes from CMV, and the other 40% is from neutrinos. The photons from luminous objects are at most like a couple of percent. And CMB gives a nice snapshot at so-called last scattering surface, which occurs around the zero 1000 temperature is 3000, because temperature now is 3K, so times 1000 gives a like 3000 Kelvin, and it gives a the snapshots which corresponds to around 0.1 eV. We may naively expect this that scattering surface occurred like the hydrogen ionization energy scale, because that scattering surface is the when the electron got escaped from the proton. So we may naively expect like 13.6 eV hydrogen ionization energy scale. But the point is that CMB is Planck distributed, so there are still lots of photons in the tail of the CMB distribution, so still a little bit lower than the hydrogen ionization energy scale. And another reason is that the baryon asymmetry in the universe is 1 over 10 to the 10th. It means for each single proton, there are 10 to the 10th photons. So huge number of photons exist. So only the photons in the tail of CMB spectrum still has a big number to enough to ionize the universe. Okay? So when I talk about the constraining infraton potential CMB, the kind of game we are playing is the following. So this is the basic picture we currently know about inflation. So infraton potential as a function of infraton. So inflation starts somehow, the inflation lasts somehow, and the inflation terminates somehow, where the infraton field loads slowly along the infraton potential. So in other words, we don't know anything about inflation. And what CMB tells us is towards the end of the inflation, around E fold of 62 volt to 52 volt, this very, very tiny window of 10 E folds is the time when cosmologically interesting scales we are observing now are produced. So CMB gives the nature of the inflation through this 10 E fold window. We are trying to guess the nature of inflation, typically inflation that's much more than 60 E folds. So it's not an easy game at all. And unless infraton field goes through the drastic dynamics towards the end of the inflation, we naively expect the power spectrum, which is produced by quantum fluctuations in the infraton field towards the end of the inflation, would be just a simple polynomial form. It cannot be simpler functional form than just a polynomial form. And to make it worse, the current observation is consistent with so-called Heisenberg little bit spectrum, where n is just unity. So primordial spectrum is simply flat, so a flat spectrum. Okay? So it might be more interesting if it deviates from the flat spectrum. And from the impression model viewpoint, this making the so-called spectral index is the power of the wave number k. Turns out to be close to unity, means that in terms of so-called slow roll parameter, epsilon, which is the first derivative of the potential with respect to the inflaton field divided by the inflaton potential square, and another slow roll parameter, eta, which is a b double prime, basically effective mass over b, is very, very close to zero, so that n minus 1 becomes zero. So it usually leads to fine-tuning because the real multiplying the tank mass huge number, and we want to make it to and eta pretty small. So this is one of the potential problems in an inflation model building. Okay? So from now on, we use the natural units where MP is 1. Okay? So how can CRB tell about the types of inflation? So some people categorize the inflation potential into mainly three categories. One category is the so-called large fields. Example is chaotic inflation, where inflation is going on. The inflation field has a Planck mass, Planck scale, or even bigger amplitude. And the inflation goes on, and the inflation terminates, and starts rolling down to the minimum, and the inflation field decays to repeat the universe. And another model is small fields, where the inflation field starts from the top of the hill. So inflation starts when the inflation amplitude is small. And then there's a minimum around here, and it's an oscillator around here to decay and to repeat the universe. And another model is a so-called hybrid inflation model, where it's a multiple fluid of inflation, so inflation field is slowly rolling, and there's another field which has an effective positive mass during inflation. But once the inflation field closes some critical value, say 5C, then effective mass becomes negative, so it terminates in a waterfall manner. So that's the end of the inflation. Okay. And based on those categories, some people plot the which region in a parameter space spectral index and tensor to scalar ratio, basically amplitude of the gravitational wave over amplitude of the scalar perturbation, which is R. And usually hybrid and the large fields and small fields tend to converge to a Harrison derivative spectrum where n is 1. And the scalar ratio is zero. This is sort of psychological effect because this is what we observe now. So what we observe now is somewhere around here, probably all the models in the research literature will converge to somewhere else. But the point is that as far as the observational data is concerned, any models converge to the same point. So may not be easy to distinguish which model is better than the other, as far as we are concerned with only experimental data. So today's philosophy in my talk is that it's not the case. So if we use a particle theory motivation, we may still be able to judge one model from another. Okay? So the bottom line for the inflation model building is that something in front of potential leads to same CMB spectrum. So constraining in front of potential from CMB data alone is not a trivial game at all. So let me talk about the inflation model building through some examples. So David Wright was made a suggestive ranking of the inflation potential, and he just made some ranking based on his prejudice. So of course, ranking of the inflation potential changes from person to person. But from viewpoints, he prefers the small field inflation, and he doesn't like the large field like chaotic inflation. One of the reasons is that it tends to lead to beyond the Planck scale physics, because for large field inflation, inflation field is well beyond the Planck scale. So maybe more preferable to do the inflation model for small field. But it's his view. But the point is that we need a particle theory to judge them because all the models can make the observed spectrum, Harrison's derivatives. Okay? And he put the example corresponding to that ranking, but he was kind enough to put our paper at the top of ranking. He was also kind enough to spell my name wrongly. Okay. So, but I have not thought about this the work with you and Stuart. Okay. So frequently asked question for inflation model building is first, who is Dr. Infra? So let me paraphrase this question into what kind of fields are there in our universe? So in particular example, today I'm going to talk about the modular fields. There are a lot of class selections in supersymmetric field space, and then probably the students already know much more about modular fields than that. Okay. And another frequently asked question in inflation model building is what's the form of inflation tensor? And let me paraphrase this question in the same way. How was supersymmetry broken in the early universe? Okay, so in today's particular example, I'm going to talk about the hidden sector supersymmetry break, where supersymmetry is broken in the hidden sector, and it is communicated to the visible sector, where standard model fields are living green. Okay, and for simplicity, I'm going to talk about the gravity mediated breaking, this supersymmetry break mediated by gravity. Okay? Okay, so here, so the point is particle theory is important in that once we specify the model from particle theory viewpoint, we know what the inflation field is, and we know what the potential looks like. But I'm not saying the observation data like CMB is not so important. Actually, cosmological data is as important as the particle theory motivation, because once we build up the inflation potential based on particle theory, then we can make a concrete prediction. And then we can use cosmological data to justify or falsify that model. Okay? So both are very important. So as a working definition, what I mean by modular fields today is the field which is flat, and some field which counter the flat direction, and it's partially flat at 3 level, and it potentially lifted by supersymmetric breaking. So the typical form of the modular fields has the MS, so supersymmetric breaking square, and supersymmetric breaking to cost. So the height is determined by how supersymmetric got broken, and modular field typically has the Planck scale amplitude. Okay? And because of the Planck scale amplitude, it decays gravitationally, because if there's a coupling like phi star chi square, from the viewpoint of chi, the chi gets effective mass due to the wave of modular field. So modular cannot decay so easily. Okay? And properties, consequently, the height is determined by supersymmetric breaking scale, and the mass corresponds to determined by supersymmetric breaking scale as well. So B double prime over B is one of the slower parameter, is all the energy, because B double prime is basically the effective mass, the effective mass is then S square. And then the B is also determined by the supersymmetric breaking scale. So this is a typical problem of the inflation model in S-time supersymmetric inflation model, because typically in an F-term model, the potential has some scalar potential, and then sometimes depending on the super potential, and the exciting beta. As far as the inflation potential is dominated by F-term, then if you take the derivative, then K prime pops out, and K, and sometimes depending on S star and plus other terms. And then the second derivative is the K double prime, the K times this bit, so basically becomes times B plus other term. So after canonical normalization, K double prime becomes order limited, so B double prime. So after canonical normalization becomes order limited plus other terms. So it's called so-called beta flow in inflation model, because the beta parameter is defined as a beta prime over B. So the one slow roll condition is often violated, generically violated in supergravity inflation models. Okay? But this is what we expect from the particle theory viewpoint. So I stick to the beta order in our inflation example. Okay? And I'm going to ask, based on the sound particle theory setup if the observed quantum perturbation can be produced or not, is my philosophy today. Okay? So we can now ask, based on those particle theory setup, if self-consistent cosmology scenario can be realized. And so without any modification, unnatural for instance. So what I mean by natural one, our unnatural would be here. So I naively expect because of the gravity mediated Suzy breaking, supersymmetric breaking states in the intermediate scale. So this is the energy scale I would expect. If I get the energy scale totally different from those values, I would call it unnatural. Okay? And for the mass of the interaction field, again, this TV scale is a natural energy scale from the setup of this model. So if the mass of the infraton field turns out to be totally different from this TV scale, I would call it unnatural. Okay? So there are several related work. For example, Scott Thomas wrote a modular interaction paper, and also Banks also wrote a modular cosmology. And the difference of a model compared with the other relevant previous work is that one quotation from this paper modular cosmology by Banks et al. With a similar speculative explanation of the discrepancy between Suzy breaking scale. It's the deep value we expect from simple gravity mediated Suzy breaking setup and apparent inflation of the scale to match the Corbett normalization. We tend to expect a pretty high energy scale inflation. So what people have done is that they put some physics, for example, additional Gay-Zero compensate to scale up the inflation energy scale up to here to get enough amplitude of the perturbation, cosmic perturbation, even though we naively expect much lower value. So the difference in our model is that we stick to this value because this is the value we expect. Okay? Right, so let me first talk about the cosmic perturbation. Okay? So, in our model, so infraton field, in this case, modular field, which has a mass of TdV and the height of the potential is intermediate scale, and the infraton field starts from the top of the hill, so it's a small field inflation model. And in this case, the one reason why people don't like beta model is it's not slow long, so it's fastly rolling the infraton field. So it does not lead to a flat spectrum. As a matter of fact, it leads to red spectrum or highest press spectrum because it's rolling too fast. And people say it's bad because it's not flat spectrum, but we take it as advantage in that radial fluctuation is rolling too fast, so it's too red spectrum to suppress, so it is too suppressed to be observed. And what we observe, however, is an angular component. So in supersymmetry, any scalar field is complex. Supersymmetry is nothing but the symmetry between perineum and the boson. Perineum has at least 2 degrees of freedom. So any scalar field has at least 2 degrees of freedom. So even though radial component is fastly rolling, so it is the red spectrum, high express spectrum, angular component can be flat. And if that angular component is what we observe, still it's possible to get a flat spectrum. Yeah?
So one might also want to have slow roll parameters in order to have sufficient inflation. As you said, we need about 50 or 60.
But the 50 or 60 is necessary for the gut scale inflation. In our case, like 10 to 10 GeV. So cosmological interaction scale leaves horizon around 40 volts before the end of inflation. So that number of inputs.
Just to explain, you know, the problems of the standard cosmology, we need enough defaulting. So if you have larger control roles, you might simply not have enough defaulting.
So I can come back to that point later.
Okay, so
but that number of inputs, 60 or 40, depends on energy scale of inflation as well. And in part time, I'll show you the number of inputs between us in your model.
Just to make sure I understood the point that even though eta is order one, you're going to get the 48 holding because eta will be not one, it'll be, you know, six, or it'll be order one but small.
I think David Light, I examined our model a little bit more detail, and he claimed the eta of order five is possible in our model.
I thought that's what
the thing stays up because of the angular momentum. Yeah. So you'll describe the solution.
Correct. Yeah. So it may become a little bit clearer. So please ask the same question once I go through this. Yeah. Okay. So the kind of potential, so to make some quantitative argument, I have to specify the potential. So I just pick up some toy model where the inverton potential has some TD mass and then stabilized by the higher order term. So inflation starts from the top of the hill and starts rolling down towards the minimum. And in this model, this U1 symmetry around angular components, so that's why it becomes flat on the top of the hill. So this radial component actually rolls down very quickly and becomes fresh, but during the inflation, the angular components has some approximate U1 symmetry. So delta theta goes like h over pi because the degree of freedom around the angular component is pi times delta theta, and it's the quantum fluctuation over h. So angular fluctuation becomes h over pi here. Okay, and h is almost constant. So we may naively expect this leads to flat spectrum, but it's not quite right because the pi is still fastly rolling. So even though h is almost constant, because of fastly rolling pi, h over pi does not become quite flat. Okay? So I'm missing something rather than tuning the parameter. So one of the robust properties in moduli fields is sort of point of enhanced symmetry. So, and again, what new definition is there? Literally, the special points in the moduli space where some particular symmetry is enhanced. And some basic properties of enhanced symmetry point is it's a fixed point of the symmetry group. So even after the transformation under this symmetry, the fixed point doesn't change. So it corresponds to a local maximum, minimum, or some other points. And the new interaction can show up around the enhanced symmetric point because if you have some coupling, chi-sphere, for example, coupling to phi and find out the enhanced symmetric points. So when moduli field phi are from enhanced symmetric points, then chi gets a very big effective mass, so we can basically integrate out from the Lagrangian so that chi doesn't show up. But once moduli field approaches the enhanced symmetric point, then that degree of freedom shows up. So basically, it corresponds to Higgs mechanism in low energy effective field theory. And the new induction can show up around the enhanced symmetric points, so consequently, potential should be renormalized. Okay, because of this right degree of freedom around the enhanced symmetric point. So the advantage for our model is that so phi equals 0 is the enhanced symmetric point. So initially phi max was up to 0, but after phi normalizing the potential, where beta is basically the beta function in a denormalization group equation. So basically it becomes the maximum gets shifted from pi equals 0 to some finite value. So what is good about this is that initially it was h over pi, delta theta of h over pi, the pi is fastly growing, that's why h over pi is not constant enough. But now, because we have some finite value here, even after small displacement, it's still approximately some finite value, so that h over pi now becomes flat. So in this model, so there's a ring, like a ring around phi equals 0, the inflation is going on around the top of this ring, okay? And it becomes a flat.
I'm still confused because this is focusing on the fluctuations about the background solution, but I don't understand the background solution that you're fluctuating about yet.
Yes.
And in particular, I don't understand if its potential is not flat, why are you getting inflation to happen in the first place?
Yes. If potential is not flat. But it basically the way inflation starts is saying it's pretty similar to a small inflation, small field inflation. So
small field inflation, normally the statement is that it's true that you kind of start arbitrarily close to the very, very maximum, then you can take as long as you like to get off. But really, you're only allowed to be within a fluctuation of the maximum, and that's what requires the slow roll parameter to be small at the maximum. And it sounds like you haven't made the slow roll parameter small at the maximum.
But even if inverton field happens to start around here, the volume expansion is bigger, expansion rate is bigger, so I might expect the probability wise the inflaton field starting from the higher potential will be more preferable than the.
But why is the potential dominated? If you're drilled off down that hill, why do you get an exponential or a quasi exponential or accelerated expansion at all?
Okay. So you're saying that it may not be slow enough to get the enough number of inputs. Maybe. Yes.
The only thing I can see is that if you actually put yourself right at the very top, is that what you're doing?
No, but you can't, as you said, you can't come close to an H over 2 pi.
Yeah, I'm going to show you a plot of number of inputs, which I sort of numerically.
Okay, but then the idea is that you're just rolling down the side of the hill. The hill's not very shallow. And the claim will be that you get a lot of inputs anyway.
It's very non-obvious thing.
Yeah.
So that's you start talking, a next step without, going through the first, but please.
So you're asking me that maybe initial condition.
Just inflation to begin with.
Yeah, why does it happen?
Yeah, before we start talking about the fluctuations, we need to have cosmology. And on top of that cosmology, we look for fluctuations we relate to T and B, but it's not obvious that you have inflation with large slow-roll parameters. Yeah, it's model specific. Usually people do fine tuning to avoid that.
Right. Okay. Yeah. So I think it maybe also related to standard case of new inflation, why it's going to start from the top of the hill rather than altitude beside the top of the hill.
And what they're really asking is the energy density of the universe approximately constant for a reasonable time?
Well, the question is why, because if it's true that you can do this without tuning the gate to be small, that would be great, because that would solve a lot of the tuning problems.
There are some huge problems with string cosmology.
Precisely. That's a whole interesting thing. So how do you avoid that?
Can I come back to that
sure.
Point? If I could answer during my talk, you can ask me after. So the total fluctuations commonly encountered comes from the radial component and the angular component. And as I said, radial component is the highly suppressed due to non-slow-roll nature. So basically, the angular component fluctuation becomes the dominant component to the final Kautsky perturbation. And based on the formalism, so the delta formalism of the Sasaki Stewart, the angular component fluctuation amplitude is parameterized, or actually expressed as the initial fluctuation times the derivative of the number of defaults with respect to the initial random. Take the number of defaults I plotted. But this is not total number of defaults, but more the number of defaults between the two hypersurface sites particularly short. So in a delta n formalism, curvature perturbation Dn expressed as the number of defaults between initial hypersurface and final hypersurface. So R pi minus Ri is depleted by number of defaults between the hypersurface you specifically chose. So the number of defaults between initial and final hypersurface is what I plotted in this figure. For this particular example, I chose the initial hypersurface to a spatially flat hypersurface, and for the final hypersurface, I chose the commoving hypersurface, so that the dn between spatially flat hypersurface and co-moving hypersurface represents the co-moving curvature perturbation of the final hypersurface.
Are those spikes corresponding to when you're at the maximum?
The angle is almost zero because I chose the toy potential which has the approximate Z3 symmetry. So it starts, if theta zero is close to zero, then it's going to go to saddle point and slowing down. But the initial angle turns out to be the direction that to the minimum just keeps straight down. The number of equals smaller zero.
So that was your theta 1.
Right. So theta 1 is the initial angle of the hill.
So the spikes are happening when you roll down to the saddle point and then change direction?
Yeah, close. Yeah, correct. Then, the, intuitive understanding is that if it just keeps slowly going down, then the total energy comes mainly from only radial components. Angular components cannot dominate energy, so cannot affect the curve self-perturbation. But if it goes close to theta equal zero, then there's a lot of spiral motion, so the angular component becomes the dominant component of the energy, energy density, to affect the curve.
And when you follow that trajectory, if you ask where the field was at some time, is it mostly at the top of the hill, or is it mostly at the side of the point, or is it, where does it slow down the most?
I think still around here, because it's now oscillates and starts going down.
So the equal things are producing it at the top.
Right, right.
Then you have to worry about
it. Yeah. I understand. After I calculate the probability distribution, reliance around angle would be preferable, which I do not put in my talk, but I'm happy to discuss it. Yeah, that's it.
What's kind of strange is whatever angle you always get, it seems like 27 volts or something.
That's true. Right?
And that's always, I mean, that seems the odd thing. But that, you could imagine that could correspond to you're sitting very, very, very close to the maximum.
So in your model discussion starts, if initial displacement is within H, then eternal inflation starts. Mm-hmm. And for this particular model, I chose the initial amplitude to be bigger than H, so that the eternal inflation does not happen. And this is
so your displacement from the top is before the H?
Yeah, or amplitude bigger than H.
A little, when does inflation end? When does 60 folding end? How far you are from the top in H?
So actually, key type of order, it depends on how you define inflation, because people usually define the point is, the integral of order is when cosmologically interesting scale de-liberalized.
No, but what I'm saying is that if you have 60 foldings that are necessary to resolve the standard problem, the problem for standard cosmology, we'll end up putting your delta phi within like three H's of the top. Then I'm not sure I can believe it, right? Because I know that the size of quantum fluctuations in the field itself is of order H. Mm-hmm. So if you're going to tell me that all the classical inflation is of order 3H, then it's... That's why I'm asking you, when the 60 foldings occur, how far will the field be?
I would expect a couple of times H to be enough.
This is really the reason why people want to keep eta small. So then you can displace far away from the top, so that this issue does not arise, and you have a standard classical invention.
Okay. So
in your solution, just one last thing, is you check that not only do you get that the universe is becoming large and the n is large, but you're checking that it's accelerated during that whole time, that the a dot dot is.
Correct. So at first, this slope partial theta is big enough. There's enough amplification of the amplitude. So H is pretty small because it's intermediate scale inflation. But there's enough amplification of any sort of amplitude. Okay? Is this clear? Okay? Okay, so I would like to make a specific prediction to compare with the cosmological data. So in our model, it's not slow law, so we do not use a slow law approximation. And it turns out that n minus 1 turns out to have the simple form, just the power of k. But this alpha, they are non-trivial functions, but just a constant number, capital N alpha, based on constants. Based on the mass of the inflator and the height of the inflator, but they are just constant numbers. And consequently, the lining of the spectrum n prime defined as a derivative domain with respect to the k becomes just the alpha times something. So interesting thing here is that if it's a slow log approximation which corresponds to alpha is less than 1, then higher derivative gets the additional alpha, so running and so on becomes negligible. But if it's not slow log, which corresponds to alpha of order infinity or bigger than infinity, then the running of the running may not be negligible. Okay? So for the slow log case where alpha corresponds to less than infinity, then for example here endpoint 4 for the endpoint 6, then there's a black spectrum. And then there's a red spectrum as we expect. So at the end of the impression, we usually expect the suppression spectrum because potential becomes pretty sharp, not that anymore. But the interesting thing we found was that if alpha is bigger than infinity, then before red spectrum starts, there's some bad blue spectrum before the suppression of bad spectrum starts. So I thought this is a particular prediction of the model we are discussing. Okay? So the point here is that it could happen that those higher derivative spectral index and running could be of order, same order, if it's not slow log. So we may be a little bit careful when we do the comparison between the theoretical prediction and cosmological data. Okay? So, and also, low energy scaling impression may be preferable to see the deviation from the flat spectrum, because by definition, toward the end of inflation, the spectrum starts deviating from the flat spectrum. So, inflation, this 10 fold region, corresponds to toward the end of inflation, there may be better chance to see the deviation from the flat spectrum. If it's that scale inflation, it's like 60 fold before the end of inflation. But for like intermediate scaling inflation, like K2GD as a model, cosmological interesting scale is like 40 for the body of inflation. So smaller energy scaling inflation may have better chance to see the deviation from that spectrum. So if this statement is true, then maybe hard to observe both tensor perturbation and the deviation from the flat spectrum, because tensor perturbation wants a very high energy scale inflation. Okay? Okay, so for the consistent inflationary scenario, I'd like to point out another big problem in a modular cosmology, which is a cosmological moderate problem. So moderate fields are floating around and oscillate. Yeah.
Before you start this, do you get isocurvature
perturbations
too?
Or? Right, so it was initially isocurvature nature, but when it spiraled down, it changed to adiabatic nature.
Because of the thermalization, that's what does it, or you just don't generate them in the first place?
It's not thermalization, I would say. It becomes adiabatic nature because when it spiraled down, it becomes a curvature perturbation, not on the way. So initially, the linear component is dominating the energy of the universe. That's why this angular component is still as curvature nature. But when it spirals down, it becomes curvature perturbation. So after repeating, it's just the same as adiabatic perturbation.
But at the instant of horizon exit, what is it at that point?
In standard.
Is it mostly isocurvature or adiabatic at the point of horizon exit?
When cosmologically interesting scale leaves the horizon, it's still around ice curvature nature. Yeah. Okay. So it's different from the like Carbonton scenario, because Carbonton field dominates the energy of the universe much later repeating era. In your case, the conversion occurs before repeating era.
But why is that a problem? Because I must say that I heard that on the next one, but I thought that the issue was what you see coming to the horizon now is stuff that was leaving the horizon then, and what counted was whether or not it was isocurvature or adiabatic then at the horizon exit, not later on when it falls down the bottom of the well. And so, but what I understand you to say is that you're actually getting isocurvature fluctuations not only at the horizon exit.
Yeah.
Well, why would that look like isocurvature fluctuations in the CMB?
Okay. So, yeah. Right. So, well, what we care about if it looks adiabatic or isocurvature is the initial condition of the CMB power spectrum, which we usually put deep in a radiation era. So if the isocurvature component is dominating deep in radiation era, it's like a cosine high sculpture, if it's high sculpture, and the adiabatic is dominating, it's like high initial condition. And when we put that initial condition, that's the point when we judge the scene of the spectrum becomes the adiabatic nature of one sculpture feature.
But for each mode, that the condition is coming in, the initial condition is coming in because it's frozen inside the horizon, and as it comes in the horizon, it starts to move. Right?
Uh-huh.
So the initial condition kind of counts as it comes in the horizon, and the ones that we're seeing in the sky now are just coming in the horizon.
Right, so your point is, so you're saying R dot is constant outside the horizon. Right? So, but it turns out if there's an extra component, the perturbation is not time independent anymore, even outside the horizon. So if there's no isoculture components, once perturbation gets outside horizon, it sticks. But if there's isoculture components, R dot is time dependent. So even if curvature perturbation is negligibly small when it crosses the horizon, because of the time dependence, it can grow up if outside horizon.
I'll ask
you
more later.
Yeah, okay. Right, and the another serious problem is questions about before getting into modular problem. Okay, so another problem in modular cosmology is a cosmological modular problem, because the modular fields are oscillating as a matter around the minimum, so it's going to dominate the energy because matter reduces like 1/2. So when modular field decays, which occurs during or after nuclear synthesis, because it's going to decay only gravitationally, so it's going to mess up the physics of nuclear synthesis. Like photon and photon or a bit high energy particle destroys the light elements. So it's going to affect the light element abundance. So it's one of the most difficult problems in early universe. So let me talk about cosmological modular problem. So that one of the resolution is assume the data entropy or small number of inflation after big inflation, much after big inflation, so that the data entropy production can dilute the unwanted readings like modular fields or graphic fields. Okay? So there's nothing new in some inflation, so I will do it briefly. But the way it works is that there's some field which typically has a TED scale mass and a Bagel like intermediate scale scale against TED. Such a scalar field is pretty common in supersymmetric field space. So if those light fields get summarized, so then at the top of the potential, it has a effective mass. So it's m-5², but if it's summarized now, then the t square by square term. So as long as it can get trapped when t square minus m square is positive, then inflation can happen. And the height of the potential is pretty small because you have a very light mass, the small bed, TV scale, the intermediate scale. So number of inflation is typically 5 to 10-ish. And it turns out this is pretty reasonable number in that it's big enough to dilute modular fields, but small enough not to disturb the CNB spectrum. But as I said, CNB leaves the horizon around 40 before the end of inflation for this kind of smaller scale energy inflation, more energy state inflation. So if number say initially like 40 or 45-ish, but data time in inflation induces too much number of inflows, say, like 20. So during big inflation, it becomes a 25 before the end of inflation. Becomes the very cosmological interest in scaling the horizon. So if we get too big number of efforts from this kind of small inflation after this big inflation, then the cosmological interest in scaling is when inflation field is towards the end of inflation. So the spectrum gets deviated from that spectrum. Okay? So it's ideal number. And also, the receiving temperature turns out to be like high enough. High enough means the value about MED where big bang nuclear synthesis starts. Okay? So it's one resolution for cosmological modular problem. Okay? So the finite temperature effect in the presence of the 3D flood direction can solve the modular problem. Okay?
Any problem with baryons in this picture? Do you inflate away all the baryons?
Sorry?
Do you inflate away all the baryons in this period of inflation? Or?
Good
science. The baryogenesis.
Yes, I'm going to go back. And the problem to solve cosmological modular problem by diluting later on, it's going to dilute the baryon symmetry in the inverse too. Okay, so it's one of the serious problem. And I'm going to discuss this point now. Okay? And because thermal inflation, so I assume thermal inflation here. And thermal inflation occurs at a very low energy scale, because height of the thermal the flat direction field is pretty low scale. So this baryon asymmetry generation has to occur at a very low energy scale as well. It's not an easy game at all. Okay? And there are models suggested by the Stuart Kawasaki and the Yanagida back in 1996, and we made something similar but the improved model of the baryon asymmetry in the of the biogenesis, where we use Aplec-Dine field, but the standard Aplec-Dine mechanics doesn't work because of the too low energy scale. So in a standard Aplec-Dine mechanism implemented by Randall, Lisa Randall and Dine and Scott Thomas, so there's the Aplec-Dine field, which has a mass of like 3D scale, and then supersymmetry breaking from finite energy induces additional effective mass. So during inflation, it has a negative mass, so that along this flat direction, Aplec-Dine field is nothing but just a flat direction. So along flat direction, due to the quantum fluctuation during inflation, it can deviate from the minimum around that direction. But once energy scale and inflation decrease, then the energy of the universe keeps decreasing. So at some point, the effective mass becomes positive, so that it's going to go back to the original true minimum. And when this shift from negative to positive mass occurs, the minimum in that phase also differs. So there's a like angular momentum is violated, or there's a kick in this U asymmetry. That's the point when lepton asymmetry or baryon asymmetry is produced. So this is the standard Aplec-Dine mechanism. The reason why this standard Aplec-Dine mechanism doesn't work in the model is that it's so small. So this supersymmetry breaking effect is negligible to begin with. Okay? So it's not a trivial game at all. So what we suggested was that But we didn't want to the model too complicated, so we just assumed the standard MSSM, the Foucault coupling of Newton. And the Fredman field is a field which induces thermal inflation. And for the Newton in particular, usually it's so called new problem where we always have to do some fine tuning for the value of mu, but we suggested this scalar field, Platon field, which induces thermal inflation, dynamically generates the Newton as well. So intermediate scale square becomes like TV for the body for Newton. And then we need a Aplec-Dine field, which we just use the LHC square, which violates the electron number. Okay? So in this very simple superpotential, our model turns to a I'm not sure if I should go to too much detail, but the assumption is that we assume those Lagrangian fields initially trapped thermally, and then it can start rolling down. And the way it works is that as initially LHU, the Aplec-Dine field, was trapped at the origin, but starts rolling down once temperature decreases. Okay, because the temperature decreases. So one crucial assumption is that we are assuming the mass in LHU direction. LHU direction means the linear combination of radium and LHU. Okay? It's negative. I'm going to come back to this crucial assumption later on. Okay? And then Platon starts rolling away. So the way that the kick in this LHU direction works in our model is that once Platon field starts rolling from the origin, it gives the effective mass to HU. So basically, every HU direction now has a positive mass. So initially, the phase of LHU was initially determined by Eytan from LHU square. But now because of this positive mass square coming from the flat on amplitude, now it's going to be determined by Clausthal. So the point here is that in this superpotential, there's a lot of Clausthal. So we may naively express there's a non-trivial dynamics which can break this E1 symmetry. So that's the why in the model, even if we neglect the supersymmetry breaking effective mass in an upper dynamic field, this gets a kick to produce the inner lepton symmetry. Okay? And the assumption is that LHU direction has a negative mass, and this is going to break the charge and color breaking box. So as some people like Senko and Langer and Sergio discussed, as far as this non-MSS minimum is trapped and the transition to a true MSS minimum is longer than the age of the universe in a still viable model. This is one of the possible predictions which can be tested by some future accelerator because we can get the mass of the island HU. Okay? So at least we can check some consistency between the data and the neural model. Okay.
So, do you, can I ask? Yeah. I'm not following all the details, but do you have a right-handed neutrino of a certain mass decaying?
In yes.
What is the mass of the right-handed neutrino?
Yeah. So, probably, if you are can say this LHU square comes from integrating of a neutrino. So, just 10 to 10 to 15 some reasonable value which justify the system mechanism.
The 10 to the 10 GPD would work.
Oh, I think the 15 GPD would work. Yeah. Okay. Did I have a question? So we still want to keep the advantage of the system against explain that. Yeah. Like, okay. So the theory so far is that because so many infant of potential used to the same shame with spectra, it's not that easy to constrain the effort of potential from CMB later on. So as we some particle theory interesting is then we can tell what the impact of field is in our case moduli fields that are putting some ad hoc scale field from nowhere. And then we can also can tell reasonable value of the parameter rather than doing some fine tuning. In our case we could predict from particle theory viewpoint mass should be TEV. And the depth should be Planck scale, and the height should be supersymmetric grade scale. Okay? And then, after making a concrete prediction based on those particle theory models, then we cosmological observation can falsify or justify this particle theory more with infinite potential. Okay? Yeah, so,
how much time do you have?
Not really.
So this is particle theory, sorry. I also thought could talk about more external parts. So based on the working collaboration scale of the general thermos and the way people analyze CMB data is using the power spectrum parameterization. So for the traditional approach, the way people parameterize the power spectrum is in terms of Taylor expansion with respect to some pivot point. Okay? And they define the coefficients of the first order one spectral index, the learning of the spectral index, and then they usually ignore the higher order difference. We think of MW prime and log of cube of K over K star. And in that case, we have to be a little bit careful because we truncate the Taylor expansion. We may lose some information coming from the higher order term. In particular, if the scale, which is real bounds, becomes much beyond pivot point, then those higher order term may not be negligible. Okay? So in truncating some order, they presumably assuming this term is much bigger than this, and higher order terms is even smaller. But it's not a trivial assumption in particular. K is bigger, much bigger than K star. And in fact, the current observation is still consistent with this term of order, the higher order. So we suggested a better way of parameterization, which is the same number of parameters, but still parameterization reduced to this standard truncated scalar expansion when slow order condition is valid. Okay, so that's how we can provide the data. And our magnetic answer is a plot of this.
Shows the parameterization.
Ah, it shows. So that's just the power, here is just the power, and we are still using only same number amplitude, and in a standard case, they use amplitude, antenna, and a drive, so three parameters, we use 1, 2, 3, and to make a better comparison, we can express capital N in terms of N and prime, the mu in terms of other numbers, still we are using the same number of three parameters, but when this condition is valid corresponding to slow law, our parameterization is the same as this, just a polynomial, reduced to the standard one. Okay. And we also discussed in the paper the motivation from particle theory in place model building. And this is the likelihood analysis for cosmological parameter using our improved parameterization and the standard truncated Taylor expansion is dash, so solid is ours, and dash is the standard truncated Taylor expansion which truncated at n prime, and dot is truncated at n, so constant n. So as you see, it doesn't change so much. Okay? So for as far as cosmological parameters are concerned, as long as we are caring about only the small range of k means we just have a data up to only lima alpha corresponds to like k equal 5. Sin of e corresponds to k equal 0.01. So in that range, still doesn't change so much. But for the cosmological for the infraquant parameter, like n at any prime, it makes a little bit difference. So this dot is a truncated Taylor expansion. So to justify the truncated Taylor expansion or to justify truncation of that order, we naively presume n prime is much smaller than minus 1. But as you see, 0.5 or even unity, n prime of 4 by minus 1 unity is still is a little still consistent. So that assumption doesn't seem to be justified by the cosmological data analysis. So we may want to be a little bit careful about the parameterization issue. Okay? And indeed, the parameterization gives a half of the n prime using the truncated Taylor expansion. It gives a little difference, like it gives doubles. But there is probably a why cosmological parameter like omega b or the amplitude a and so on didn't get affected is because n prime is still small number, so even if we change this small number, still cosmological parameter does not get affected. But my point here is that it's good consistency check to analyze the data using the different parameterization. Okay. Thank you.
So what's the experimental value for this? Just give n minus 1 log k over k star. What's the, given the range of k's, what's the value compared to 1?
So n minus 5 to this more, say, point of 5 or something, log k. Okay, K star is outer point of 50, usually pick the pivot point where the error is the smallest. Mm-hmm. I think sometimes we must be there, or something. Okay. And how we use that to line our points like that. So this is
a very slow of
So in the cosmological parameter space, it didn't change so much using those three different parameterizations. If this scale becomes much, much bigger, it may make some difference.
As a matter of fact, there is no reason that even far big K, there is no reason that we expect that spectrum keeps going. So that spectrum may not be guaranteed at higher K. So like for example, can take care of the even running of the random even higher derivative of K. So if the flat spectrum gets changed at very high K, then the parameterization like ours may experience the guaranteed one.
So, could I come back to Alex's original question?
Yeah.
So, are you saying that even with eta of order 1, you can get sufficient inflation?
Yeah.
And so, do you have a calculation? Or do you
have what?
A calculation of the
number
of
holdings
that you get?
Yeah.
I've
checked
it
numerically, so I can you
depend infinitely many if holdings as long as you.
Oh, so you're just fine tuning the initial condition. Is that what you want?
So it depends on the case of initial condition.
Yeah.
Oh, so you're not a pure at the minimum. What he's doing is this. So you're within H of the.
Couple H's.
I honestly don't remember exactly what things are. I have to look up.
But that's a generic as far as
one, right?
That's the thing what happens. That's why people try to avoid having large data, precisely because it puts you in a small field inflationary model that you are analyzing close to the top where it becomes questionable whether the classical role is just.
And so we made sure it's classical vision.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm happy to discuss it. Yeah.